Backseat Producers, episode 184, Leon the Professional. Hey, this is Tony.
And this is Daryl.
And this is David.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
Piece of topical news. Did you hear about this Republican wiener thing?
What?
Wow.
Or sorry, not Republic. Every time I see rep and then someone's name, I think Republican whatever.
Okay. But
that's not right. It's representative. Oh. You hear about this representative wiener thing.
This is a person.
There's a person named Representative Wiener.
That's awesome.
That must be awful hard to live down.
I checked his Twitter feed and posted a picture of an obvious erection in a pair of boxer shorts.
Oh my god.
So, that's problematic.
I was watching Jon Stewart and he's like, listen, you get into comedy, sometimes you have to work for it. Sometimes it comes easier than others. Sometimes the joke makes itself, but I'm friends with Representative Wiener.
I can just see them calling out his name in the house.
Representative Wiener, how do you want to vote?
Oh, man. That's how topical we are here at Backseat Producers.
Hey, and the nice thing is we're actually releasing in a timely manner.
I know.
So
timely Wiener.
We can have timely Wiener jokes.
Invite him. Sausage
to present
sausage.
Honored guest.
Opening
opening statement. Representative Wiener.
Oh man, he made so many jokes too. He's like, hey, like in the picture, he leans hard to the left.
Yeah.
All right, what are we talking about next week?
Next week we are talking about Ronin.
Not Heat.
Ronin.
They look the same to me.
I don't know. I've never seen Ronin, so...
Really?
Nope. I've just got it in Netflix.
Man, Tony, why don't you watch more movies that are older?
It just came in today.
De Niro and...
Oh, well.
I bet you'll watch it by next week.
I probably will. I prepare.
Oh, also, by the way, we should get Jeff on here at some point.
Yeah, I talked to him about that the other night at your house.
Hey, no one listens to you. I'll talk to him and set it up, Tony. Don't you worry about it.
Whatever. Yeah,
that would actually be extremely germane.
If he can talk, he will talk about Hangover 2.
I mean, even if he can't talk specifics.
Even if he can't talk about Hangover 2 or specifics, I just want to have him out here to talk
about
movies.
Yeah,
because he's awesome.
Just
in
general, but...
He's actually very studied on films. I've talked to him about movies before, and he knows what he's talking about, so...
He's very studied. Yeah.
Studied or studied?
Both.
Yeah, both.
Both.
Incredible nipples.
There's something about... Is it Bradley Cooper?
Yeah.
That reminds me of Jeff. I don't know.
Well, I don't know about that, but... Let's just move on.
Anyway, so tonight we're talking about Leon the Professional.
There's something about Jennifer Garner that reminds me of Jill.
About who?
Jennifer Garner, because I watched Invention of Lying yesterday, too. I was like, God damn, she looks like Jill in this movie.
Yeah.
That's a good movie,
That's
too.
That's a good-looking couple, then.
Yeah.
All right, so we're talking about Leon the Professional, or Leon, or...
The professional.
Because this movie has two or three different cuts.
I think it's just the two.
Yeah, it's just two is the only official one.
Well, there's
the
two official cuts.
The theatrical release was The Professional, and then it was a director's cut called Leon the Professional.
No. The European release was Leon. Mm-hmm. The U.S. release was The Professional. Then they released Leon the Professional, which was actually just The Professional. Then there's the international DVD release, which is actually Leon. But it's called Leon the Professional International Release. It is confusing. And I will say, for the record, what I watched to reviewing this was Netflix said it was Leon the Professional. The disc just said The Professional. Because supposedly the DVD release of Leon the Professional has deleted scenes that make up what is Leon. Mm-hmm. So now that that mess is out of the way.
Yeah, a little more of his backstory is explained in the expanded editions. So this...
It's also supposedly a lot less pedo.
Mm-hmm. I needed 100% pedo from this movie.
Leon the Professional had about 85%.
Yeah,
think Leon probably...
You never pull it back. Better. Always go all the way. So this piece of trivia from IMDb, I think, sums up exactly how I feel about this movie. According to Patrice Ledoux, Luc Besson planned Leon as filler. At the time,
yes, I read
he
this.
Already had started working on The Fifth Element, but production was delayed due to Bruce Willis's schedule. Rather than dismiss the production team and lose his creative momentum, Besson wrote Leon. It only took him 30 days to write the script, and the shoot lasted only 90 days. Ironically, Leon is not considered generally to be a far superior movie to The Fifth Element. Fifth Element's a great movie.
Fifth Element's great, but Leon, it's so much better. It's so different.
Yeah.
Tone of the two films are completely different.
I've oft heard The Fifth Element described as every genre except for The Professional. The Professional is that one slice of genre.
Really. If you really think about it, it's kind of the similar plot at the beginning.
No.
He has the girl that needs his help falls into his lap after being chased by assassins.
Similar.
Space. Similar. Yes.
Not space.
All right, so...
It doesn't have Gary Oldman.
It does.
All right, so I think that is your high-level review.
Yeah.
Daryl.
I liked it. High-level-wise, it moves kind of nicely. It's a really quirky movie. Kind of a different topic, a take on the anti-hero.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoy the movie. There are things that... at first glance seem odd or they don't seem to fit, but like if you really think about them, all the pieces are there, and we'll get into talking about the movie in general, I'll go with that. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoy this movie. I want to go back and see Leon now that it's really fresh in my mind, to see if I can spot the differences and see just how different they were.
So, let's just go ahead and hit the acting real quick. Jean Reno.
Jean Reno is fabulous.
Yeah, and everything he does. He was even great in Godzilla.
I'm not going to argue with that.
There's no argument.
I enjoy Godzilla. It's cheesy and it's goofball, but I enjoyed it.
Well, that sums up pretty much every Godzilla movie ever made.
Yeah, that's kind of what they're supposed to be.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick's tagging somebody really hot, though. Who is it?
Sarah Jessica Parker?
No, wait.
That's his wife.
That doesn't sound right.
That's his wife.
Matthew Broderick is not tagging someone really hot.
Oh.
In my mind, Matthew Broderick is Pimp of the Ages. In reality, he's in a bad scene.
In my mind,
he's probably a battered husband.
That is more likely true than anything. In my mind, he's still tagging the chick from Ferris Bueller.
I don't remember what her name is.
I don't either, but she didn't age at all.
Oh, yeah.
In my mind.
Naturally. No, she's 60 now.
Yeah, Jean Reno is fabulous. Every scene he was in. And, I mean, he had to go through some weird...
some weird stuff, yeah.
Like especially the scene where she plays the game with him, and she's dressing up like Madonna and Marilyn Monroe and just full on just throwing herself at him, and he is just sweating profusely. It's just like, no, I don't know who that is. I have no clue. No.
Gary Oldman.
He's Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman
is the only guy who could ever do those really whacked out characters.
Yeah.
Really well. I mean, and not be stupid about it.
Yeah. Not I mean, it's kind of over the top, but
it's really
like reined in over the top, like under control, out of control.
The only scene where it for me it was like, God, how does anybody not just bust out laughing at him, was when the other cops were there and they're like investigating the shooting and they're like, so explain it to us, and he's just like, what the fuck?
I was over there. Then he pulled out a gun and I shot him. I got other things to do.
If you want to talk to me, go back to my office.
You're so good.
What?
So, all right.
And Natalie Portman, I thought she was brilliant.
Considering this was her first major motion picture.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
This really launched her career.
So, seeing Natalie Portman's performance and reading the IMDb trivia where her parents were all concerned about the smoking.
Yeah.
What confuses me is that's what they had a problem with.
Yeah.
That's where they drew the line.
Yeah. The language, the violence, the sexuality. Movie. Those weren't problems.
No, but the smoking.
She couldn't inhale,
and she had to quit by the end of the movie. What? What a weird stipulation.
It's a weird stipulation, but it actually worked.
It was fine. It worked
perfectly. I mean, it didn't feel like it was ever held back, her smoking, because she was a kid sneaking cigarettes when she could.
Yeah.
So that made sense.
That feels nice.
When he's like, hey, you need to stop smoking and stop swearing. Okay. I have no problem with that character acting that way toward her. That just makes sense.
And that's the interesting transformation of that character right there, when he suddenly starts getting all fatherly concerned about her, and she actually respects him. I mean, she's the first person in her life that she's actually paid attention to.
Yeah.
Or literally respects, either way. I mean, even though she might think she's his lover, and he's trying to be, quote-unquote, his father figure, it's interesting to see the dynamic between them.
Yeah.
Her transforming into...
That's the entire movie right there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Relationship.
Yeah, that relationship is the core of the film. I mean, that's probably going to be the core of the discussion tonight.
Yeah, I mean, if neither of them had been up to the task to pull that off, the movie would have failed miserably.
Yeah. I mean, because...
Well, it wouldn't have failed. It would have just been mediocre.
No. Because,
it would have been laughable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, it would have been.
Because, like, especially when she's, like, when she dresses herself as Madonna, and she, like, she sets the whole thing up. She's like, I've got this game. It'll test your memory. And it's like, what is she doing? She comes out dressed as Madonna and is like thrusting, singing Like a Virgin, enunciating very clearly the word virgin, like, and like really tramping up the song like it wasn't tramped up enough.
No.
And she knows just how uncomfortable he is, because, like I said, he is just... Sweat is just pouring off of him.
I don't think she really understands just how uncomfortable she's making.
I disagree. I think if it was any other 12-year-old, she wouldn't. But considering the life she lived, the her older sister,
mm-hmm.
the fact that she walks in on her parents and they're like, hey! And it was more like,
oh,
why are you opening the door? Why didn't you knock? It had nothing to do with the fact that she caught them. It was just that, you know,
inconvenient.
You bugged us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think she's a naive girl at all. I think she understands sex and sexuality, and she understands what she's doing to him.
Great movie. I recommend this movie for everyone. Mostly expectant mothers.
We are not done yet. Now, so what I love is that they have the relationship of Leon and Matilda. And like you said, that moment when he says, look, stop smoking, stop swearing, You know,
stay away from that boy.
Yeah, stay away from that guy. I'll be back down in a few minutes. I'll be looking out. It was... It showed just how he's changing and
she's changing him.
Well, she's changing him, but it also shows...
She's also being changed.
She's being changed because it's the first time anyone ever shows any kind of guidance to her, any love, any respect. And she... I think the unspoken and interesting thing is she kind of mistakes that for being in love.
Yeah.
And how their relationship grows from there and how it kind of grows separately for the two characters. Because he's just like taking her under his wing, helping her, trying to be fatherly in a really weird way. In that whole assassin way.
Well, the funny thing is, though, he's really devoted to his little plant. I mean, he polishes it, cleans it, waters it, makes sure it has sun. And now all of a sudden he's got something else he's got to take care of. And he has these, I guess, fatherly instincts. He wants to take care of something to put up, you know, to get him out of kind of the zone of where he is as being an assassin. And, you know, this girl walks into his life, and all of a sudden he's all fatherly and stuff. Oh, like, okay, somebody to take care of me, and I take care of them.
Really, because I think it's more an issue of he prides himself on being professional, and so he's obviously got a code. And when he saves her, he's like, all right, you're cool now, get out. And she's like, hey, you saved my life, you're kind of responsible for it now. And he's like, oh, yeah. All right, I guess you can stay.
He definitely has a code because it's the, I mean...
No women, no kids.
No women, no kids. That becomes a thing. And then there's the little piece of backstory that gets dropped by Tony where he's like, hey, when I found you...
You were already in trouble because of a girl.
You were in trouble because of a girl. So there may be a little bit of... redemption that he's trying to get because of something he did in the past.
Well, they tell you the story.
What story?
The story that he was in love with a girl, the girl's father didn't approve of him, so the girl's father killed the girl to keep him from seeing her.
Was that in Leon?
Yeah.
Because that might not have been in The Professional.
That's what I saw.
That may have been the difference then. Because I did not see that.
Then, Leon kills the guy and then flees to America.
That makes a lot more sense.
Yeah,
because that, I don't recall that at all.
Then apparently his dad was working for Tony, and then he started working for Tony.
These things now make sense.
I'm his lover.
Yes, you are.
No, genre, no. That accent is so awesome. But yeah, I think it's his code that keeps them together initially, and then finally he realizes, like, keeping her around because of this is really stupid. And then he tries to kick her out, and then she puts it all on the table. She says, if you kick me out, I will just kill myself. With the Russian roulette.
I didn't see that either.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a scene.
So there's more that this is the difference.
Yeah, okay. There's a scene where he tells her, I think it's after she tells the hotel manager that they're lovers, and then they have to change hotels.
Right.
That they're sitting around the table, and he's like, "Yeah, we're not working out. Like, you're getting the wrong impression here, and I think you kind of need to be on your own because obviously, I'm not doing the right things to." Keep you from feeling this way that you're feeling, which is wrong. And so she takes he gives her that gun, the 6-chamber gun.
Yeah.
So she puts in 5 bullets, and then she spins the chamber and slaps it shut, and she's like, all right, well, I'll make you a deal. And she puts the gun up to her, she's like, if I pull the trigger and it doesn't fire, you let me stay with you. And he's like, there's a round in the chamber, I heard it. And she's like, well, I guess we'll see. 3, 2, 1, and then as she hits one, he reaches out and he slaps the gun away and it, like, blows away a lamp.
Wow.
yeah, I know.
That's cool.
So, I mean, yeah, because it's an awesome point because he is broken.
Like, yeah.
She breaks him. He's not going to give her what she wants, but she's broken him, which is... It's one of the best scenes of the movie.
That is fabulous. I wish I would have seen it.
Cold-hearted bitch, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So
that kind of trashes my point about some of it. I mean, that's the difference.
The dynamic in the relationship is so cool. I mean...
It doesn't change the dynamic. It just shows more of it.
Yeah.
I mean,
she's determined to get what she wants.
So is he.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that what he wants changes. He used to have a nice, clean, very straight lifestyle where he went out. He doesn't even count his money. He just takes whatever money he needs to buy his milk and whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then get through the week. And then every once in a while, he'll head to the movies. But then when she shows up, they start doing stuff.
Yeah. Doing stuff for fun, playing this game.
So
did they ever explain, let me ask this, in the version you saw, did they ever explain who the guy she shot with the paint pellet was?
No.
Which was, I thought that was interesting that they like supposedly randomly targeted this guy.
It looked like the governor or the mayor or something,
yeah.
just jogging through Central Park.
Yeah. I just wasn't sure if there was more to that. Because
that may have just been a happy circumstance in their case.
Yeah.
that opening scene where Gary Oldman, like her father, that one guy's like, hey, he's got a knack for telling if you're lying or whatever.
Sniffing out
lies. And he comes over and he's just like sniffing him. Smelling him like the IMDb trivia says.
That was great.
That guy did not know that Gary Oldman was going to do that and was already intimidated, so his genuine look of being uncomfortable was genuine.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, that is awesome. Because Gary Oldman's the man.
He's creepy.
He is creepy.
And he like amps up the creepy, like especially when he takes the pill.
Oh,
he like
yeah.
goes through this
like
ritual
whole
of
serpentine, like
gagging down the pill and all that, and
yeah,
and he's making this transformation from Mr. Cool to Mr. Crazy.
Yeah, like that whole like when they're in the bathroom and he's talking to her and he's like, "Do you like living?" And then she's like, "Yes." You never really know how much you enjoy living until it's going to be taken away from you. And I don't enjoy taking life from those who don't enjoy it.
Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, he is destroyed. He's a disturbed
yeah.
man.
He also has my dad's favorite line from any movie, anywhere. Get everyone. Everyone?
Everyone!
You have kids sleeping, Tony. Otherwise, I would have done it.
They have noise machines, that's why.
Would have done it.
You did it.
I know.
You clipped the mic, so.
Booyah.
I'm amazed we have no one in the chat room.
Ooh. It's a Wednesday night, Tony.
They're wieners.
Well.
They're representative wieners.
Yeah, representative wiener.
Or representing wieners.
Every time. So.
Oh, we have two guests.
Yeah, we got guests. I don't know what that means.
Man up. Sign in. I like how they show him working out. Like, all of his sit-ups.
Mm-hmm.
All leading to that one scene where he needs them. At the end. So, the end where they're closing in on... They know exactly where they live because Gary Oldman's tracked Matilda down. And they're found the room and standing out in front of it. And he... like, puts himself up in the rafter.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
And just drops down.
Melina had never seen it.
Really?
Yeah, Melina had never seen it. And,
which is odd, because it's a Gary Oldman flick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
Gary Oldman is one of her go-to guys.
Yeah, I know.
I think we're all aware of that.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that whole ending scene was just awesome.
Yeah.
So, them...
That was a fantastic...
Them storming the thing, and then the whole he's trying to get her to go
and is coming up with, he's pulling every trick he knows. He's like, listen, I love you. Just go. We'll meet up in an hour. And he's going to meet up in an hour. Although, that's the thing about it. The brutal thing about it is that, like, you get the impression from him that he knows he's not going to meet up in an hour.
But he still tries.
But yeah, but he tries, and then he almost makes it. And that's the worst part, that he almost makes
that
it.
That was such a great... The cinematics of how they showed his end was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
walking away, seeing the car, Gary Oldman walking silent. Up behind him.
Yeah,
silence and that and just, image, it just, and it just kind of slowly goes down and then to the side.
I love that shot.
That's a
right
great
there.
Shot.
Mm-hmm. And then the whole ring trick thing at the end is just
yes. Now see, the ring trick thing was the thing that at first I was like, there's something broken about this, because he pulls the ring and it's like 20 or 30 seconds before the grenades go off.
Movie time.
No. That's what I gave it to at first. It was like, oh, it's movie time. They're just convenient. No. What it is the handle is down. It's down when his jacket is closed. As soon as the jacket opens up, that handle goes up.
And the spoons pop out.
Yeah, and that's when the short timer goes off and boom. It gives him just enough time to realize, oh shit. And then boom.
Boom.
Especially with that many grenades. He took out the whole friggin' building. Bada boom.
So how did Gary Oldman get all those cops...
Yeah, I know! There's like 250 guys
there. That
was
ridiculous.
And then, as soon...
See, that's almost to the point where I almost wish they would have said something like, we got the guy that shot at the mayor, or whoever that guy was, because it was like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
If they would have done that, it would have made sense why they had that many people, police presence, because it's almost like they missed... Just a little something there.
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't necessarily think so, because he broke into...
That's true. He did break
kind of shot up the DEA office pretty good.
Yeah, that's true.
And cops get all touchy when you start shooting other cops.
That's...
Who knew?
Go figure.
Yeah, and this, I mean, he could, like, he already killed one cop, and then this was another cop that he came in to kill. So, I mean...
Well, he's pretty much tearing them all up there, so...
There's 20 grand here. $5,000 ahead, right?
So, yeah, I mean, and then he doesn't start off with that many guys. Like, they've got that SWAT team, and then once the SWAT team gets chewed through, then everyone else shows up.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of freaking people.
That was crazy.
That his march out, though, was awesome. He's wearing that mask, and he's just like, he's got the mask on, and he's just going down the stairs. And it's like, just people. The line never ends. He sits down before he gets to the end of the line of people.
Yeah, for as big balls as everything else he did was, that was it.
So big.
That was the moment. So, I've said it before, now that we've actually talked about it, I would love to see a sequel with Matilda. Matilda the Professional.
I don't want to see a sequel with Matilda just because the two characters I really liked from the story die at the end.
They would need to create... Gary Oldman-like
son
character.
Son of Oldman. Youngman. Youngman. Jean Renoman.
Ooh.
I don't know where
I'm going. I don't think you could make a sequel to this movie. I think it was pretty... I think you could. At the end.
Well,
you don't. She doesn't have any more reason to have more revenge. I mean, the cops were all killed.
There's one thing that
the obvious plot would be with Tony, though.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, I'm thinking. For me, the obvious plot would be something happens to Tony before she gets her money,
mm-hmm.
and whoever takes over after Tony.
I think the obvious plot would be...
Or somebody takes out Tony?
Tony becomes a surrogate father, mourning the loss. He overcompensates because he gives up. He gives up Leon.
Right.
And so that guilt drives him to overcompensate and become like a real father figure to Natalie Portman. So 20 years down the line, he's on his deathbed, and someone does something to him. Some conflict there.
Some bad thing happens, and she steps up. Danny Aiello
is still alive. It'll be fine.
Like, yeah.
Him reprising the role however many years later would actually work out pretty well.
You have those two characters. Yeah. You have those two characters come back real easily.
Yeah. And, I don't know, his role doesn't need to be very extensive, but now Portman's got the chops that she can pull off anything. Oh, so.
Yeah, that's not a problem. And I think the natural conclusion would be then is that she uses the knife. Because
she kept practicing.
Well, that's just it. The last thing you learn is the knife, because you as you get better, you get closer. That's what he taught her.
I think the natural evolution and conclusion, I think it would be a much cooler story if she doesn't use anything. That she turns away from that lifestyle, recognizing that as a child, she had walked into something that she didn't fully understand, and then it was a Joker situation.
I think that's the situation you need to come... I think that conclusion needs to come through the course of this movie.
Yeah, exactly.
She's fully ready to, you know...
Oh, yeah. She kicks ass now, but she
get the guns, get the knives, ready to go full on, and when she gets to the moment, she pulls back. And
then she pulls lesbian.
That's right, because Tony's still got all his weapons locker.
We've got the sequel written. Yeah,
done.
Done.
Luc Besson, what's going on?
We need to make some phone calls.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make them by Monday, because that's when this episode
ends. I'm on the backseat producer's... like gold-plated phone right now, straight to the White House. Obama, get off the wiener thing. Let's fire up this.
You're done with Bin Laden.
Yeah,
come on. Let's professional fire up 2, make it happen.
Matilda the Professional. Done.
Yeah,
title's already written.
It's perfect. It works.
Yeah, it does. And that would be a satisfying movie.
I've bought my ticket already.
Maybe some nudity. I mean, you gotta draw in some people who are new to the franchise.
Or
keep me around.
Science and guns. I mean, what more do you need? And a revenge plot.
Yeah.
It's not like Natalie Portman won't do an action flick. I mean, she did Your Highness.
That's very true.
So
yeah, let's make it a classy action flick.
Well,
Your Highness was very classy. Don't suck that. That's dead.
I still haven't seen it. I'm waiting for.
That's the best line of the movie. Spoiler.
It sounds like a good line. I have no clue what it references.
The problem with that movie is that they had no script.
Oh.
They had scenes, and like they knew where they were going. Like, there's a wizard, and we're going to fight him in the end. Spoiler. But they had no dialogue written, so they took like 10 takes of every scene and then just used the best them all together.
Say, when you have good improv actors, that normally turns out.
Danny McBride is a good improv actor.
Is he?
If I had known that before I'd seen it, I think it would have been a better movie. I mean, because there are some scenes where the dialogue is just so out there that you're like, what? Like, they're sitting in a bar and like his squire is like, it's my birthday today. Fuck that. It's nothing to do with anything that's going on.
That sounds like conversations we have all the time.
No. Yeah, and in that context, the movie is hysterical. But I didn't know that, so
You weren't expecting it.
I took it too seriously, which is an uncommon problem for me.
You tend not to take anything seriously.
I know. Well, it was too out there for me, but now I'm fully prepared. Nipples on maximum hardness. Up the diamond, boys. Diamond.
Start cutting glass.
That's right.
You're going to do sausage fest etchings.
Yeah.
You just lay down
your 3D etchings in glass. Like,
just
could do
so
live,
sharp I can get depth.
You could do live etchings during sausage fest.
Just lay down the glass plates and turn you loose.
That's right.
Win.
It'd be like the harness from Mission Impossible.
All right. Anything else to say about the movie?
Tony, who is this movie for?
Who is this movie for?
Hipsters?
No.
No.
Oh, yeah. I can see
too
Luc
far
Besson hipster.
You have to be willing to see a little blood. There's a little blood in this.
The violence in this movie is not overdone.
It's not overdone.
Because they pull punches when they shoot the kid.
They do.
You don't even see it. You don't see his body. You don't see anything.
Well, you actually do, because when she steps back into the apartment to pick up the money, there's his outline on the floor.
A chalk outline.
Yeah, chalk outline. I mean, it's bad for her.
Yeah, it's a little creepy for her because she's standing essentially on his grave. I mean,
I get that, but you don't see, like, a kid's head being blown off.
No. And, I mean, there are lesser movies that would have done that.
I mean,
and, I mean, yeah, they could have done it. They probably could have gotten away with it, but
they pull
it
didn't need to.
It wasn't necessary.
No, but they pull a lot of punches with violence. He kills the guy in the apartment when he went with the drugs.
Yeah.
And they don't even see it.
And see, and I don't think... And that's... What's cool is the point of the movie is not about the violence.
Yeah, the violence is so secondary. Underplayed.
And that's why they do... And see, I don't think they pull the punches. I think that's just a stylistic choice that... It's not necessary.
The movie oozes style.
Yeah.
When the opening scene where the blinds are down and the guy shoots all the holes in there, and then he just walks up and he looks in. That's a cool scene.
Yeah.
I mean, that scene sets you up for, man, this is going to be awesome. And then he's back into the corner, and then the knife just comes out. Comes out of the darkness.
Yep. Yeah, so... I think this is definitely a more guy movie.
If you like deep character studies,
there now it's got it. I mean, it's got good character. It's got great action. It's got a little bit of an edge. I mean, it's got an edge to it with the whole pedo thing.
Won't they?
There is a will there, won't they vibe.
I never got that impression. How far is she going to push it thing shows up, but I never once got the pedophile vibe from it.
No.
I jokingly
say pedo thing.
No.
That is clearly one of his lines that he's drawing.
Yeah, that's clear. And he establishes that pretty early.
Yeah.
And it's a situation where she's under a crazy amount of stress and is put in a weird situation and she's reacting badly to it. But it's not really her fault.
Plus, she doesn't understand what a loving parent is.
Right.
Well, she never had one.
Well, exactly.
Yeah, so she doesn't know
what to do.
Well, the thing
she doesn't know how to react. And
well,
to her,
thing, well, one
any
thing is
love
she's
just becomes
also
romantic
transferring
because
her hero worship into hero worship and affection into a love relationship.
Right. Plus, she's also 12.
That's what I say. She's got a bad case of hero worship crush on this guy.
Potentially, she's also going through puberty.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to... She could honestly be having sexual feelings for him. It's not it's not just...
Well, let's be honest. I was having sexual feelings for Jean Reno. As soon as he looked through that little hole, I was like, yes, sir. Glory hole. Booyah.
He used the glory hole later in the movie, too, sticking his gun through it to shoot the cops.
That's right. God, I love that. As soon as he gets ready to go down that chute.
That was so ridiculous.
It was so ridiculous, but it was Jean Reno, so it wasn't ridiculous. Right. So I was like, yes.
He yells for no reason.
Yeah, none.
Then the grenade launcher comes through, blows up the room, but he's all right.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's fine.
Yeah. He's got a plan.
And
he's armored in
What I love is that as crazy as Gary Oldman is, a line has been crossed at that point. He's like, what the fuck are you guys doing up there?
Yeah,
Come on!
Yeah,
I said, catch the guy, not blow the whole top of the building off.
Yeah, and then he's like, all right, everybody out. Everybody out.
Oh man. So, any thoughts on who this movie should be for?
Ooh. If you're a fan of Natalie Portman, this is an absolute must-watch movie. If you're a fan of Natalie Portman, Gary Oldman, or Jean Reno,
yes,
this is them at their finest.
And
I can't think of
acting,
better pieces.
Acting against each other throughout. The scenes when any of them are interacting with each other are just
fantastic, yeah.
Gold.
Which is most of the movie.
Right.
Yeah, not so much Gary Oldman, but...
But the
even
scenes,
when he's,
well,
even when he's doing stuff, he's still doing
even
awesome.
when he's acting against her,
mm-hmm.
those scenes of acting against her, ooh. Those are uncomfortable.
Yeah,
like really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You're like,
you can see Natalie Portman's a little freaking out a little bit. Too.
Well, yeah, I would be too.
No kidding.
Like not Matilda, Natalie Portman. Yeah,
if Gary Oldman was sitting right here, I'd probably just piss myself. I mean,
I don't know how to do that, but I would more be curious,
especially if he went if his head went back and he went.
If he did that live in the studio, I would piss myself. I would do it. I would if I knew he was coming in, I would prepare for it. I would drink a crap load of water.
Just drink a lot.
Yeah, and I'd tell him, I'd, like, if you do that from us, I will pee my pants.
No, he'd wear white. Yeah, he'd want to make sure right. it's known.
Yeah, make it the contrast.
Wear it like a badge of honor. Just really low.
Set up the. We'd point that we'd move the camera.
Yeah.
Record that one.
Yeah.
If you're a drug dealer, I would watch this movie.
You could learn a lot.
Yeah.
Learn who not to screw over.
If you would like to be a professional assassin,
yeah, don't screw over. This is a
good start.
Yeah. There are good rules.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No women, no kids.
No women, no kids.
Practice.
And the better you get, the closer you get.
Keep your guns clean.
Drink a lot of milk.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Strong bones.
It's not exactly as good for you as they say. Like, imply in the movie that it's a lot better for you.
Well, it's better than drinking booze. I mean, you got to have steady hands.
I've completely
Hitman's got to have steady hands. He can't be touching the sauce.
I've still got a keg in my garage, too.
Who do you think the movie is for? Anything to add to the list we've already thrown out there?
I think if you like anti-hero movies or quirky characters or...
Young black comedies? You know, like Friday.
Crime dramas. I mean, this is the thing. I'd mostly put it just for, this is a very good anti-hero movie. This is a guy who has a reprehensible job, but you begin to like him after a while because he isn't.
Well, they do a complete role reversal.
Mm-hmm.
The cop is the baddest guy. Mm-hmm. I mean,
yes, he's out of control. He's sadistic.
He's nuts.
And
he's evil. He'll kill anyone and runs a crew of people who will do anything for him.
He's Gary Oldman, all right.
So he's Vic Mackey before Vic Mackey was.
No, you're
saying
words.
He's a non-crazy. Actually, Vic Mackey is a non-crazy Gary Oldman.
I don't know who that is.
You need to see The Shield.
Is it The Wire?
No, it's The Shield.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I heard The Wire was fantastic.
I watched the first season of The Wire, and it was fantastic.
I'm not going to watch The Wire. My patience for cop shows is zero. There's a weird fraternity there that I don't understand and don't want to understand. It's the same problem I have with military movies. I don't want to understand that fraternity thing, so I can't.
You went to an all-male school. How do you not want to understand the fraternity thing? That is what it is.
Oh, that's different. Because at the all-male high school, we weren't, I killed my buddy, so I'm going to go murder their family. That didn't really happen. That experience was something I missed
out on. If they
would
have killed your buddy...
If they would have killed Francis, I probably would not have retaliated by killing
You would have murdered someone in the face.
I don't think so. Yeah, and then get sent to Italy, which is a weird, awkward transition for the character. But
and then
let's not start that again, Tony.
Well, see, and you would have gotten hit on by a 12-year-old.
On the
Does
run
she look
from
like Natalie
dealers?
Portman?
Yes.
Do I know what she'll look like when she gets older?
You can assume.
I would retaliate. Wait. How old am I? Not my age.
You were,
not my age.
You were, no, this is 20 years later, so you're older.
Older than now?
You are Jean Reno's age when he was in this movie. So you were in
mid-30s. I thought we were talking Michael Corleone.
We are mixing movies. Holy crap.
Michael Corleone's only like 20 or 21.
That's true. He's still pretty young.
12 to 21 is not
more like 25.
Yeah,
or
he's probably 25 or 26 by that point.
All right, well,
he's probably your age, so he's your age.
Here's the game you start playing. Because then you're like, well, how many years is it from me to legal? And how many years is it from her illegal? And then you just take that number.
And what's legal in Italy?
And average them. So it's 8 for me, 5 for her, so we'll average around 6. So 6 years will be fine.
This is getting weird.
No, it's right, man. She'll be 18, I'll be... 20, 33.
Yeah. So you're talking waiting until she's... That's what you're saying.
Well, it depends. Does she blossom early?
Okay. It's getting weirder.
Tony, there's been some 16-year-old girls.
I opened this door.
I swear to you, are not 16.
I opened this door. I knew where we were headed.
And if I don't ever ask her for identification, what she tells me goes. So
that's true.
I mean, I can still be held accountable in a court of law, I'm pretty sure, but let's just not have that happen.
I You got her calling you David now, too?
Yeah.
Jesus.
I'm good at it.
Your dad's still not doing it, is he?
No, he kind of. No.
I didn't think so.
I'm persistent, Tony. I am the rock. And the rest of you are the stream around me. And you know who wins in that?
The rock. Stream.
The stream, because they wear down rocks.
Given long enough, the stream will wear down the rock.
Yeah, and well, the thing about it is,
in the short term, the rock wins.
Yeah.
In the long term, the stream does.
Yeah, over hundreds of years. Well, guess what? You people don't have hundreds of years.
You don't either.
You don't think it, yeah, I don't want to die by the time I'm 30. Oh, God.
It's coming quick.
Yeah, I know. Zooming up on that. Speaking of, my birthday is on Monday.
Yes, I know.
Did Melina ask you what to get me?
This podcast will be released on your birthday. Happy birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Like, make sure, hey, if you guys listen to this when it comes out on Monday, wish Adam a happy birthday.
Don't do that.
On Twitter, on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Make sure the whole world knows.
Shout it to the world.
You need his cell phone number?
I dislike my birthday. Actually, I'll be in class.
Text him repeatedly.
So don't do that.
Throughout the day.
Yeah, that could get rough.
Oh, man, this class looks like it's going to be horrible, too.
What are you taking now?
Finance.
So it should be a natural for you.
No, yeah. I mean, but this like, oh, well, you have to do workbook problems in this book. And I'm like, is this a master's class? Like, junior high? What? We have a quiz every class? What?
That's awesome. Wow. Why aren't you just taking this online?
I wish.
This sounds like an online class.
They did not offer any of the online classes over the summer for anything I needed to take.
God, this sounds like an online class.
You just have to show up.
All right.
Substitute in some master's level computer science database courses, though, for my electives.
Booyah.
Nice.
This should be an easy challenge for you.
Yeah, I know.
You probably know more than anybody else about them.
Just show up and be like, boop. Select star from whatever.
Here, let me let me upload a few things that I've been working on in the last 5 minutes. Boom. I think I passed the course.
You could probably get a B by just going in and saying, don't use cursors.
Temporary tables are
horrible. All right.
I'm out.
Done.
Thank you.
See you next week. Ronin.
Bye.